Lord Russell, what do you think will happen if there is an H-bomb war?
If there is a first-class H-bomb war, practically everybody in the Northern Hemisphere will be exterminated, and a very fair number of people in the Southern Hemisphere are going to fall out, but that would take longer. I think it would be a dead end to almost everything that we care about.
You mean it would be a war in which neither side would get a victory?
No, there wouldn't be victories on either side, unless you have a new definition of victory. I mean, it might be, perhaps, that at the end of the war, there would be six people left in the Western camp, and four people left in Russia, and four people left in China. And then they would have a majority of two on their side. And, of course, if you thought that a victory, you could, but it wouldn't be a very nice one.
Do you think it's likely that there will be an H-bomb war?
I think there is quite a possibility of an H-bomb war, as long as things remain as they are now, chiefly because of the need for instant retaliation, which is, from a military point of view, a very real need, and the risk of some complete misunderstanding, perhaps of a natural phenomenon, or of this or that, which makes one side think that the other has begun the H-bomb war and lets loose the whole thing when nobody really intended it. And that is not by any means an impossibility.
Sometimes people say that if you get into a situation in which there's an arms race, this inevitably leads to war. Do you think this is so or not?
Well, I shouldn't like to say inevitably. I never like to use the word inevitably. But it has, as a rule, led to war. Most of the arms races that one can think of in history have ended in war. And I think, psychologically, it's very natural they should, because the other side's armament causes fear and hatred and leads to greater armament on the one side, and that leads to greater armament again on the other side, and so on, and it piles up and piles up. And people's nerves get more and more tense until at last they can't bear the tension and they think anything's better than this. That is what happens with armed races. It happened before 1914.
Don't you think, though, that in 1951, when the West began their great rearmament programs, this might have had the effect of stopping a war because it made the Russians feel they couldn't get a quick and easy victory, and so therefore they wouldn't try it on?
It's very difficult to know what was in the minds of the Soviet government at that time. And one can't be at all sure whether they would have started an aggressive war or not. But in any case, I should say that unless something other than the continued arms race is undertaken by governments, it only postponed it. After all, before 1914, there were crises very similar to the crises that we've had, and those didn't lead to war until 1914. And people thought, oh, well, if we keep the armaments equal on the two sides, there won't be war, and it wasn't so.
But do you think there's something to be said for the H-bomb in the sense that the existence of it has made all statesmen and governments so appalled by what would happen if there were a war that they've refrained from having one, even in circumstances such as the various crises over Berlin, when previously they might have started one?
I think that, again, history is against you. Everybody remembers that Nobel, who invented the Nobel Peace Prize, and who was a very keen advocate of peace, was also the inventor of dynamite. And he thought dynamite had made war so horrible that there never would be another war. Well, it didn't work out so.
Surely the H-bomb is a weapon of an entirely different character.
Yes, but people get used to things so frightfully quickly. When the atomic bomb was dropped upon Hiroshima and Nagasaki, the world was struck with terror, and they thought how very dreadful this is. Well, now the atomic bomb is counted as a tactical weapon, and nobody cares a button about it. It's a nice little old thing like bows and arrows.
What are your current views on what is practically possible to do about the H-bomb?
At present, as things stand, a great many powers, both in the Eastern and the Western bloc, are going to get H-bombs. And the chance of an irresponsible government doing something very foolish with them is immensely increased by that. And also the difficulty of getting them abolished is immensely increased. So that I think you should have, first of all, an agreement to stop the tests, which is quite practical politics and is being considered. And secondly, an agreement that new powers should not acquire the H-bomb. And if it were a condition of such an agreement that Britain should abandon its H-bomb, I should think we should be wise to enter into such an agreement.
How are you going to arrive at this agreement and so stop France and other countries with a similar industrial capacity from ever making H-bombs?
Well, you could only do it, I think, by an agreement between Russia and America that each of them would use all its economic power and all its propaganda power to persuade the satellite nations to follow that policy.
Are you suggesting then that Britain should unilaterally disarm as far as the H-bomb is concerned?
If it were the condition for an agreement that only America and Russia should have the bomb, then I think certainly Britain should say, well, all right, we'll join in with all the other minor powers.
Don't you think it'd be rather dangerous even just to leave America and Russia with the H-bomb?
Yes, certainly it would be dangerous. And in fact, I don't think you can avoid the danger until you have some quite new political arrangements. Because even if nobody had the H-bomb, the knowledge of how to make it exists. And if war broke out, it would be made by both sides immediately. So that I don't think you can destroy that danger until you have some way of avoiding war. But I think that the likelihood of war would be very much diminished if only those two had the H-bomb. It would diminish the risk of accidental war. It would diminish the risk of some rather madcap government thinking that it could get some good out of starting a war. And altogether, it would increase the facility for negotiations with a view to establishing something more stable.
Are we now leaving the realm of what is practically possible to persuade statesmen and governments to do and entering the realm of what it really would be ideal if they would do?
Not quite yet, I think. We will enter that realm. But I think that there is a thing which is quite practicable and immensely important. It is that both sides in the East-West tension should realize that it's important to reach agreements. And if you got the governments to realize that it's important to reach agreements and not merely to negotiate, you would have made an enormous step forward, which is quite within the realm of practical politics.
Surely the real point about the H-bomb, though, is that you've got to avoid war altogether, because once you have a war, then people would start using H-bombs or start making them, even though they'd previously renounced them.
That is so, and for that reason, agreements not to make nuclear weapons are not so important as some people think. Their chief importance is that they diminish the tension and make it more possible to reach some kind of permanent arrangement. But the fact is that with the world as it is now, and taking account not only of nuclear weapons, but of biological and chemical weapons, which may become quite as bad as the H-bomb is, taking account of all those things, the human race will not survive very long unless we find a way of making sure that wars do not occur.
What do you think that way is?
There's only one way that I can see, and that is the establishment of a world government with a monopoly of all the important weapons of war. A world government whose business it should be to take account of all conflicts between different states, to propose a solution and, if necessary, enforce that solution, and having such strength that it would be quite useless for any rebel state to attempt to act against it.
What armies, navies, and air forces would you leave to the various national governments?
I should leave only enough for internal order, just enough for what you might call police action, to ensure that the government could enforce its will internally within the country, but not enough to attack anybody else.
You mean that Russia, America, and Britain would only be able to put down insurrections internally?
Yes, national states all have their own bias. They run up against the contrary bias of other national states. And questions of that sort ought to be settled by an international authority and not by some one powerful nation.
Would you contemplate the international authority actually using nuclear weapons against some national state which refused to obey the findings of an international authority?
That's an extremely difficult question, as to which I shouldn't like to express a definite opinion. I think if it were absolutely necessary, one might say yes. But the difficulty about nuclear weapons is that they damage not only the country against which they're directed, but all the countries of the world without exception. And that makes them quite unlike all previous weapons.
Are you optimistic of people and governments doing the right thing about the H-bomb?
Well, there are times when I'm optimistic and times when I'm not, and I don't think anybody can tell how much sense governments will have. One hopes, of course, that in time they will begin to understand the problems they deal with.
Thank you, Lord Russell. I'm looking forward to our next talk.